Psalm 119. Last Sunday of 2020, I heard someone mention the other day, and they said this: "I am so ready for 2020 to be over." Circumstances do not keep track of calendars. Say, well, what does that mean? Just because it rolls over to 2021, there will still be a pandemic. There's still going to be all the same issues that were there on the 31st. Knows no difference. We live in a sinful world, and the consequences of sin affect people. If we would like to truly change the makeup of our society, being bolder witnesses for Christ will directly help. I understand what people mean, though. I understand. I'm ready for 2020 to be over. I don't know. We're going to talk about it tonight a little bit, but Lord sure did teach me some things through this past year, and I am thankful for that. Psalm 119, verse 105. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." This has been our theme thought. We didn't preach on it every week. Maybe 10 or 12 times we specifically referenced this thought, this idea. But I'd like to maybe our Sunday morning conclude with this thought. We'll pray and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this opportunity and blessing it is to be in your house, remembering back to the springtime of those 2 or 3 months when we had to stay out. Lord, I'm thankful that we could assemble here together, thankful for your people. And as we gather together under the authority of your word, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts again. Be with those that are not feeling well and a little under the weather. I pray that you'd help them recover. Be with the parents. Be with Brother Bear. Lord, be with those that are out of town this weekend with the holiday. Lord, bless their time with their family. Lord, we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Real quick, update on Brother Bear. Brother Bear was having a rough day yesterday. He got real nervous. He was just not feeling well. Didn't feel like he had a lot of strength. I met with the doctors this morning, and they had him up walking around. So praise the Lord. Thank you for your prayer with that. Just keep praying for doctors for wisdom and strength for Mrs. Bayer. How's that? Is that good? All right. Very good. When I graduated high school, my teen pastor gave me a book. Gave me two books, actually. One of which was like a devotional book, and the second book was this book. It's called The Born Crucified by L.E. Maxwell. I was 18 years of age. Within a year or so, I picked it up and started reading it, and within about 2 days, I put it off to the side. I determined this just isn't my style of reading. About 15 years later, I picked the book back up. I said, oh, where did this come from? And I remembered that Pastor Scheer gave me this book at graduation. So I started reading it again and really impacted me deeply. I remember sharing it with Pastor Huber, and he then shared it with, I remember, Mrs. Seatman. Read this book, really helped her at a time. Say, what made the change? What was different? Probably a little maturity in my life. I was 18, so fast forward, mid-30s at that time, and my perspective on the world and life and Christianity had changed. All year we have been surrounded or trying to use that thought of the importance of the Word of God in our life. How we started the year maybe is a little different than how we finished. And then I can't stress enough how valuable, and I don't want to say it wrong, but maybe I should have scripted this a little bit better, but how valuable and necessary the Word of God was for us this year. There has been in a lot of people, a lot of just through what society brings, personal circumstances going on, doubts, unrest. Maybe I'm just more aware of it this year than last year or the years previous or whatever. You know, as a young child, you have no idea what bills are, right? Hudson isn't walking around fretting, thinking, are we going to make the mortgage payment this week or this month? He doesn't know about that. He doesn't know that to fill up a vehicle of fuel is $50. He just thinks you just go and you just get gas and, hey, can I get a candy bar and a hot chocolate too while we're doing it? And has no concept of that. And I praise the Lord, my children don't worry and fret about those things. But as you mature, and as you grow up and you have more responsibilities, some more things show up on your desk or on your plate. And the need for the Word of God, the older and the further I go in my walk with the Lord, it becomes all the more necessary and valuable. Much like this book that was given to me 15 years before I actually read it, it was sitting on my shelf, it was available, it just didn't mean as much. And as we've gone through this calendar year, as we've invested in study and thought and memorization of the Word of God, maybe my desire at the end is that you have a deeper appreciation and need for the Word of God. You know, ever start a project and there's a tool out there that you are unaware of. You watch a YouTube video and they explain to you, hey, if you're going to do this project, this is the tool you need. You go and, wow, that helped. I was going to try and knock that thing out with a hammer. This thing, you just click it one time and it's done. Man, praise the Lord. You know, in our life, sometimes we get along and, you know, maybe the Bible has been something that we carry, something that we reference. But maybe this year, more than any other year, it has become our compass, our guide, our comfort. And that's a blessing. I pray that the Word of God, kind of like this book, at the end now is maybe more valuable than it was before. As we go through, and we're close to changing the calendar, our calendar, we just have a couple more days hanging up in our kitchen and just a few more days of 2020. But I pray that you not set the Word of God aside, but all the more that it has, in our studies and our attention to it this year, that it has become all the more valuable and necessary to you. We're going to review a couple of these thoughts, and I have some thoughts here that I would like to encourage you with. The name of this message is The Power of Thy Word, and the Word of God is not just like, I'll tell you, if I ever talk to a preacher or a pastor or somebody and I find out they're a reader, I ask them, have you read Born Crucified? No, tell me about that. So I start describing it, and I can't describe it like the author can. But I'll buy him it, I'll send it to him, because it had an impact in my life. So much more, though, the Word of God. This was written by a man, a good book, a helpful book. But this, the Holy Bible, the Word of God. God spoke and He recorded it for us. We talked this year about the meaning of inspiration and preservation, how we actually know that we are holding God's Word in our hand. God promised that He would preserve it. Isn't that a blessing? We can open up His Word and know with full, and here's one of our important words, full confidence. Did you ever turn on the news? I don't have a lot of confidence, may I say, in the things I read online, the things I watch. But if this book says it, I have full confidence. It's a blessing having something like that. Very few things can we say. You know, we were getting ready. We were having a family over for Christmas Eve, and we love that. And Some love it more than others. And they come and they spend the night and we have family over and kids, man, they have a great time. And we're preparing for meals. Okay, you bring this, you bring that. And there's always that thought of, is this really going to come through our door, right? What we ask people to do or what we ask people to bring. Is it? And sometimes our confidence in man does waver. Ever been let down by somebody? Sure. Ever been let down by the Word of God? Never. Never. Never have I ever taken the truths of the Scriptures, applied them, and go, that didn't work. It's difficult. Forgiveness is difficult. Repentance is difficult. But it's always right. Loving your enemies is difficult. But I have confidence in His Word. It's a navigation for unsure footing, if you will. Right? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Navigating through life. Sometimes life doesn't always lay out real easy. If I asked you, how many of you have had an easy life? Well, you look around and you compare, right? Well, compared to that one, maybe my life was a little easier, but I wouldn't say it's been easy. Thankful for the Word of God, our compass. It is a perfect blend of, listen to these two words now, comfort and confidence. Usually those two words are somewhat, not that they're opposed, but they have very different feeling to them. Comfort, this morning I got up this morning, an alarm clock went off at 6:30. I hit snooze once. I'm just being honest, Brother McDowell. I hit snooze once. Got up at 6:38. I'm sitting on the couch. We have a wood stove room. I woke up in the middle of the night last night and put wood on the fire. That's a blessing when you get up at 6:30 because there's nice coals and you just add more wood to that, Brother Seatman. So 6:30, Brother Seatman's like, 6:30, I've had two breakfasts and I've gone for a walk already. I understand. Not all people are created the same, just to let you know. So there I was, and I was sitting, and the fire was going, and sitting there just reviewing my stuff, and nice, comfortable blanket. I was comfortable. I was comforted in my heart. I didn't want to get up. I was enjoying that time, the fellowship, the reading, the studying. And we think of that word comfort. Comfort is applied when there's difficulty. The necessary, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about to help one another as God bestowed comfort to us that we can then pass it on to somebody else. When do we need comfort? When we're going through difficult times. But then we compare that or couple that with the confidence of the Word of God. Confidence is, I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. Comfort and confidence don't usually go hand in hand, but that's how perfect the Word of God is. When I'm struggling and when I'm down and when I'm low, I can come to this and it comforts me and directs me at the same time. It comforts me and gives me confidence. It allows a communication with the Lord that is developing a real relationship with God Himself. That's encouraging. You know, this world is trying to confuse us to who we are and why we are here. You've seen the pride flags and those come out. I was at a drive-thru the other day and they had new flags. They were pink and white and blue. And I'm like, what country is that? I Googled the flag that's pink, white, and blue. It is a transgender flag. I didn't even know they had a flag. Man, what a confusing thing. You're reading the scriptures and then you see what society is promoting. And the two are, it is getting further and further apart, can we say? And this world is trying to confuse you as to who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, how could you know what you're supposed to do? Some of you have a job. You go to work and you know what your title is. I am a plumber. I am a mechanic. I am a this or that. Now, sometimes your job changes a little bit. Sometimes we, you know, Pastor Seatman and I, we walk in here and all of a sudden, well, today we're a janitor. And sometimes we're a gym teacher. Sometimes we are carpenters. And sometimes we are sewage people. And sometimes we're comforters and all of those things, teachers and all of that. But most times you walk in and you have an expectation of this is who I am and this is my job. But imagine not knowing who you are. Imagine having, how could you ever know what you're supposed to accomplish and do? See, that's the power of the Word of God. It gives us not only comfort in those difficult times, but it gives us confidence into who I am. It reminds me that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, Psalm 139. It tells me that I am made with purpose. No one sitting here, no one on the that can hear my voice is an accident. God had a purpose and a plan. You were made with a purpose, but you were also made for a purpose. You also have a job, a responsibility. In God's plan, you have a responsibility. I'm not just saying like, oh, I'm supposed to work at McDonald's. I'm not talking about an earthly job, although that's good. God has a purpose for you. And I will tell you this, there is no greater joy than to find out and fulfill what it is that God has asked and desires for you. So how do I know that? Through the confidence of the Word of God. Without Christ, we're lost. Ever read Luke chapter 15? Man, we got the lost sheep, we got the lost coin, and we got the lost son. When we read that, and those stories break our hearts, and they bring tears to our eyes because we know somebody that's maybe out wandering. See, without Christ, we are, as the Bible says, lost. In Ephesians chapter 2, turn there. Without Christ, we are dead. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past, Ephesians 2:2, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's what you were. You were dead. Without Christ. Lost. Man, I hate being lost. Despise it. If I feel like I'm starting to get lost, I pull over and I have a map in my pocket. Say, you carry a map around? You're weird. No, it's called GPS. Even places I'm somewhat familiar with, I put those in. Why? Because I hate feeling lost. What an awful feeling to feel dead. No life. That's what it's like without Christ. Isaiah 41 says, without God, we are fearful. If ever there was a year that proved that, it would be 2020. There's a lot of scared people. Why? Because they don't know what happens next. They have no confidence. You know, maybe you know somebody, maybe you have a friend, maybe you have a family member that is fearful about this virus. What I come back to is that they are struggling with their mortality more times than not. What's going to happen if I die? And a lot of those that are most fearful don't have an answer to that. Without Christ, it is a fearful life. I am in no way embracing death. I'm not trying to expedite that day. I'm not looking forward to the process. I had COVID for a week. I don't want to be sick. I don't like being sick. I don't get sick a lot. When I do get sick, I am a wimp. Don't touch me. Don't talk to me. Just let me sleep. And when I wake up, I better feel better. Give me medicine. I want Robitussin. I want aspirin. I want all of it. I don't know what's going on. Tea. I want to feel better. I don't like feeling. I'm not looking forward to the death process. Woke up the other day, my back was a little sore. Oh, that's not good. Getting old. But without Christ, people are fearful. Fearful of what? What's to come? What's next? The Bible tells us, look at Psalm 107. Look at Psalm 107. Do you see how the Word of God gives us confidence? Without God's Word, what are you? You're lost, you're dead, you're fearful. Look at Psalm 107 in verse 4. It says this, they wandered in the wilderness in the solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, talking of Israel. And sometimes without Christ, it feels like you're just wandering. I've got no home. I got no purpose. I've talked to so many young people without Christ and they struggle. What do they want? They want purpose, but without Christ. You can't have it. I want joy, but I don't want the Christianity thing. You won't have it. You'll never have it. Without Christ, you're lost, you're dead, you're fearful, and you're wandering. But in Christ, one of our memory verses, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now I got a family. Now I'm not lost. I know who I am. Ephesians chapter 1, look here. I'm accepted. Oh man, that's good. Everyone wants to feel part of something. Everyone wants to feel loved. Everyone wants to feel that part of the group. Can you turn me down a little bit? I think I'm getting a little echo. I feel like I'm getting a little echo. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Again, come this time of year, we had some family over on Christmas Eve. And what do you do when you go to a place? You bring the thing that you like, right? You make your favorite food. Well, sometimes maybe your favorite food isn't my favorite food. And I had family. Nick, try this. No, I had that last year and I didn't like it. You don't like that? No, listen. I love you, but I don't like that. What do they want? They just want it accepted. They want to feel acceptance. Acceptance of the brethren, the beloved. Do you know what God says? I accept you. I'll take you. I want you. Do you see the difference? Now, can you imagine if this mentality, if this thought, we could walk into the public schools and tell young people that you're special, that you've been created with a purpose, that God loves you? I'll tell you what would happen. The suicide rate would drop. Why do people take their own lives? Because they feel hopeless. They feel like nobody loves them. Do you know that you could be completely all alone by yourself and still feel accepted by God? See, in Christ, we are a son of God. In Christ, we are accepted. In Christ, we've been freed from the bondage of our sin. I have confidence in that. That'll change your life. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it tells me that we're part of the body of Christ. That means I have a purpose. I was talking to someone this past week about all the parts of a car. How many parts are in a car? A lot. Little sensors, the little things deep inside the engine that cost $1 million. You know, those little ones. The Rices, poor Rices, they got some electrical thing going on with their Dodge Caravan and they got to take it in and get it diagnostic tested. The battery keeps dying because something's on, but they don't know what's on because nothing's on. You know what I mean? It's just frustrating. All those little parts. And when one little part doesn't work, man, you can still go, but it does affect performance. And we each have that little part. We're each a part in the grand scheme of things. God's got a purpose, a function for each of us. The Bible tells me in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we are a chosen generation, a chosen priesthood. He's got a plan for us. I'm 5'6" and a half. 5'7". I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh. God made me how I am. God made you how you are. And if you look in the mirror and go, I am worthless, what that's doing is saying God made a mistake. And God has never made a mistake. See, in Christ, I'm a mess. I don't have it all together. I haven't figured out even half of this stuff. But in Christ, I have the confidence of the Word of God. And that comforts me. And those two things work hand in hand. It can take this unrest in my heart, and it just cloaks it with this nice, heavy comfort. But at the same time, it gives me a confidence and a purpose and a drive, which brings us to our second point. The Word of God not only is comfort and confidence, but it also leads and guides. You've heard this phrase, timing is everything. And it's true. Being at the wrong place at the wrong time, you could get yourself in some big trouble. Being at the right place at the right time, there could be great blessings associated with that. Say, what does that mean? You never want to get ahead of the leading and guiding of God in your life. It might be right, but not just right now. I pray for my children that they find the right spouse, but Abby, not today. She's 13. In 30 years, you can. Yes, my desire is for her to be, but the timing is important. And often the Word of God helps us with both, not only leading us to a place, but getting us to that place at the right time. Some of the frustrations we will experience and feel in our life when our calendar and God's calendar do not coincide. I expected to be, maybe had a setback. Maybe it's going faster than you anticipated. Both are kind of anxious feelings. But when we have the Word of God that leads us and guides us, it will get us to the right place at the right time. The two do go hand in hand. Can't have one without the other and be right. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Do we have people watching online today? 14. Good morning. Okay. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a direction that God desires of us, and that's forward. He desires that we would move forward. Yes, I want to better myself. I want to educate myself. I want to learn more things. No, that's not what that's talking about. Now, I think it's important to continue to study and read, and you should always be a student of something. That's helpful. That's helpful for your mind. That's helpful for your body. But that's not what that's talking about. It says this, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We ought to always be moving in a direction, moving forward. And you know what the Word of God always does? It always leads us closer to Christ. Always. It always helps us get closer to the Lord. So when we look at this and we read this and it tells me to do something and it leads me to a spot, know this, it has you, God has your best interest. The instruction manual is for your betterment. My children got some new games. Not all projects or games are created equal. Hudson bought me, I like board games. I'm a big board game guy. Hudson got me, what's the name of the game? Jungle Drop. I say, wow, that sounds so fun. It is great fun. Incredibly frustrating, but great fun. But when you, he got it from Five Below. So when you put that thing together and what it says on the specs and what actually happens don't always coincide. We made it work. We had a lot of fun. It was a great time. But sometimes the instruction manual doesn't pertain to what you're looking at. They got one of those wooden puzzles where it has like 10 pieces and you put them all together and then it looks like something at the end. And you, if you, I'm telling you, Brother Parrott with his master's degree from MIT could look at that and go, yeah, I don't know how to do this. There, it was bad instructions. Ever get bad instructions? You know, the Word of God never leads us astray. Never gives us bad instructions. It always pushes us closer to Christ. It might be hard. It might be difficult. It might, you might hit a rough instruction. Man, that's hard. That means I'm going to have to. Yeah, but in the end, it always leads us closer to Christ. Sometimes in our life, there are circumstances that are what we would deem out of control. Remember when Paul and Silas found themselves in jail for preaching the Word of God? I would, if I was in that situation, say, this is just out of control. But do you know that it was right in the control of where God wanted them? So in our life, in our circumstance, Mrs. Bayer, you may feel like this thing is out of control. Not to God it isn't. Not to God at all. He actually put you in that place at this very time. He has in this word a list of do's and don'ts, right? The Ten Commandments. So many Christians say, well, I don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. I'm a New Testament Christian. All right. You can jump into the Sermon on the Mount if you want. That's a lot harder. Phrases like we've mentioned already, it's a lot easier to just say, hey, don't steal, than it is love your enemy. Bible tells us in the Old Testament, thou shalt not murder. The New Testament says, if you have hatred in your heart towards anybody, you're guilty of murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But in the New Testament, it says, if you lust after, there's a list of commands that God has given us. You're saying don't keep the Ten Commandments? Keep the Ten Commandments. Find every word that Christ says and do it, and you'll be in good shape. Find out what God loves and do those things. Yeah, but that's hard. Yeah. You're right, it is. Sometimes that's really hard. But again, we go back to our first point, the confidence and the comfort that God helps us with those things. He gives us discernment. We take the blend of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, and they work perfectly in our hearts. The Holy Spirit of God never contradicts the Word of God. He'll never tell us to do something that is against God's law. He actually helps us discern what is good and right. Hebrews chapter 5. So how does it end? Well, all right, here's the end. All right, everyone, open your eyes. Here we are. End. Not used to being up this early. It's been Christmas break. Psalm 23. Psalm 23. How does it end? Where does he lead us to? Well, number one, we start with comfort and confidence. Number two, he gives us leading and guiding. And when we follow the Lord and allow him to lead us and guide us, look at Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Shall not want. God will sustain and satisfy your every need. Look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Do you understand that when we get close to the shepherd, God has a way of making it peaceful and still. Even in the midst of difficulty going around us, he leads us beside still waters. He directs us in our life. Proverbs chapter 3, familiar verses. Proverbs chapter 3. We're almost done. Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It says, in all thy ways. Well, God, I'm going to handle this section over here myself. I think I got a handle on that. No, he says, in all thy ways. He's our master. We're going to be talking about that tonight. He's our master and we're his servant. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. We allow him to lead us and guide us. But it does take faith. And in verse 5, it does take trust. But he gives us direction daily for our life. Complete surrender is preferred. Look at Psalm chapter 25 and we'll be done. Psalm 25. Psalm 25. In verse 4 it says, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. The word of God is powerful. It has the ability in the midst of unrest to give us comfort. In the midst of doubt and lack of understanding, it gives us confidence. When we're lost, it gives us direction. And it always leads us to where we ought to be. That's a powerful book that you hold in your hand. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day, it says. Let's all stand. We began the year with study and an exploration of the thoughts and the power and the influence and the help of the Word of God. And as we finished the year, the calendar year, we revisited some of these thoughts. And maybe the person you started off as in January is a little bit different than we've been through some things. We've experienced the Lord. The Lord has revealed himself and taught us some things. And maybe kind of like the book that I got when I graduated, that the Word of God is more precious to you than ever before. because it's able to do something that you never knew. It was so powerful. I never knew this book was so good until I read it. I didn't know this book was so powerful until I applied it. It's able to give me comfort. It's able to give me confidence. It's able to lead me and guide me to the right time in the right place. Do you trust it? Is it just another book on your shelf, or is it the compass by which it guides your every day? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, and just a moment, we'll have a moment of invitation, maybe just to thank you for your word. God, I'm thankful for the comfort it gives. Lord, maybe there's someone here today that's lacking direction for their life, not knowing what's next. Lord, I pray that they would come and plead with you for wisdom and for guidance, for confidence, for leading. Lord, I pray if someone here today is not saved, that they've never trusted you, that they don't know where they'd spend eternity, that they do feel that loss, that they do feel that fear and that without, incomplete, that today would be the day that they call upon you to have their sin debt settled. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this invitation now. Lord, I pray that you would have touched hearts through your word here this morning. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?